10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ah, yeah.
Like that?
He's the rap. That's the rap god. I'm the stat god. You know, I want to kick off early. Before anyone's even here, I want to kick off with the craziest stat. You ready for this?
I don't know, Tone. Hit me with it.
That you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Never been done before in NBA history. So in the 75, 76, 77, however many years that the NBA is around, what I'm about to tell you has never been done in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
A starting center has never averaged less than one free throw attempt per game ever. And the DeAndre Aytonator is averaging 0.7 free throw attempts per game as the starting center.
How do you not get to the stripe as a big man? How is that possible, Tom?
12 attempts this season.
How do you not get to the stripe? I don't get that.
Does he, like, I don't think you could not get fouled more than that. Like, if you tried not to. Like, if you purposely tried not to get fouled, I don't believe you could have less fouls. Can you explain this to me? Because maybe I'm missing something.
I'm trying to make... Well, the only thing I can think about is he's not getting the ball. Because the only way you
he's
don't
get the ball, strike,
he's not getting the ball. Because as a big man, just playing around the basket, even when you get into late games where it's close, you get rebounds, you're going to get fouled. And you got to have to go to the stripe and make free throws. How do you not go to the stripe at all during the game? He's averaging less than one free throw a game, Tom?
0.7, and he's never had more than two in any of the games he's played.
This season.
This season, yes. The guy whose fault it was, not his, Phoenix's fault, that they weren't getting him the ball and, you know, the system that they ran, and it was everybody else's fault. That's 12.
That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
And let me just throw out, I don't know, I'm going to throw out three names, I want to say, maybe more, but let me give you three. Luka Doncic.
Right.
Triple J.
Yeah.
Trae Young,
mm-hmm.
Mikal Bridges. Do you think Phoenix would have been happier with any one of those?
Yes.
Because they all got drafted after him.
Yes, they would have.
even I always triple J. Even JJ Jr., who isn't, you know, not a superstar, but defensive player of the year, I think they would have been very happy with him anchoring even the team they have now.
You think that Triple J would have been better on that Phoenix team in the NBA Finals than DeAndre Ayton?
1,000,000%. I don't think Ayton has brought in any dominating to anything he's in the NBA. I think it's been potential. It has been, hey, what do you think? Maybe. I guarantee you they would have been happier. Look. Got my issues with Trae Young, but I think they would have been a lot happier with Trae Young or Luka.
I don't know if I buy that, man. I mean, I'm not, I don't know if I buy the logic that he. So are you saying he's a bust, Tone? Is that what you're saying?
As a number one pick.
As the number one overall pick in the draft, is he a bust?
As a number one pick, here's the thing. There are certain expectations when you're the number one pick, whether right. that's fair or unfair, right? Okay. Whether it's Anthony Bennett, surprise number one. Andrew Wiggins, number one. Kwame right. Brown, number one. There's a level of expectation.
Correct.
As of today, he has not lived up to those expectations. So
Whose expectations are they though, Tone? That's my question to you. Whose expectations are they?
All fans in general, when you're the number one pick, you're expected to be at minimum an all-star, right? At least?
At some point.
At some point, you are a perennial all-star, right? Not just a one-time all-star.
Right. At some point, you are expected to be an all-star. And so, in the 4 years, 5 years that he played in Phoenix, I think he's 17-10. They were actually building that unit.
That's nice. That's why I'm not going. That's why I didn't right away say bust. I didn't say right away. But I think he's underachieved.
That's fair. Okay. Underachieved is fair. I thought he would be. I still think he's a franchise player. I do. I think he's a franchise player. I think that him in Portland, I thought it would be better because I felt like they would get him the basketball more. But it's obvious that they're not. He's not at all involved in their offense. The last game that they played, Tone, he took 7 shots. I think he had 8 rebounds. I think he had 12 points. And in the process of him having that, he went 5 for 7. He only missed 2 shots. Why are they not running that offense through him? I don't understand it. Because he's clearly their best offensive player.
And wasn't that what was supposed to happen? Right? That's what was supposed to happen.
Why hasn't it happened?
Ask coach.
Why are they running that offense with Shaedon Sharpe and Jeremy Grant? Because it's obvious that's not working. It's obvious that that's not working. So,
can I actually do one thing on Portland? Can I just give myself a pat on the back?
About what?
What I tell you about Scoot?
What did you tell me about Scoot? Refresh my memory, Tom.
He wasn't built for the NBA. Everyone thought, oh, he's the NBA. Remember, he was the most NBA ready player. He was going to come right in.
I did hear that.
And I said no. Remember, I said, Wemby, I'm worried. He has bust potential because of injuries. I never said because of his talent or skill. I said because of injuries. Mm-hmm. I said Scoot is going to be overhyped, and he's not going to come in and play. I think he had bust potential. And where is he now? He's in the G League. You know who's not in the G League? Did you not hear that? Scoot got reassigned to the G League?
Which is good. Which is actually good. He was coming off injury, and it's actually good
that where he got drafted out of.
I'm just trying to make sense in why the G League isn't used more. Like the G League, from what you're making it sound like, Tone, you're making the G League sound like it's a bad thing. First of all, a lot of these guys aren't ready when they get here. So the fact that they go down to the minors to, number one, get reps, two, get confidence and keep confidence, I think is a good thing. I thought that them keeping Dame and him playing behind Dame, I thought that would have been the best thing for him. The best thing for him. Because I thought that him competing would be his best attribute. I didn't think that he was ready like that. He couldn't shoot it at a high level coming in. He could get downhill with the best of them, which he still can do that. But his decision-making was questionable coming in. So he was at any stretch, he was raw more than anything.
And that was perfectly said. That was exactly what my point was. When everyone said he's the most NBA ready, I was like, no, he's not. He's not. And this proves it. But I want to tell you who is ready. I want to tell you who is dominating.
Uh-oh. Watch out how you run up on him. Watch out how you run up on him. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't going to say nothing else about that. I'm not going to say nothing else about that. Just watch out how you run up on them.
Shout out to Fluent Jr. Got his red belt yesterday. He's way ahead of schedule. Red belt is 2 away from black. Not even double-digit age yet. I'm just saying. But I got a top. So today, we haven't even talked about it. Today, we're going to do the top 10 GOAT myths. So things that are used in GOAT debates that are not true. But before we get into that, I have another top 10 list for you. You don't know this. You didn't know this was coming. I don't even know what the hell this is, but let me pull this up for you and tell me what you think of this. This is your guy, by the way. This is your guy here. And he made a top 10 list that I think he was rather shocked to make. I'll read off the top 10 list for you. Here we go. Coming in at number 9, these are the sexiest bald men of 2023 revealed. Terry Crews at number 10. Shaquille O'Neal.
We do not care.
Coming in at number 9. Shamar Moore at 8. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Jordan. Jeff Bezos. He should be number 1 just for his money. Samuel L. Jackson. Jason Statham at number 3. Number 2, Vin Diesel. Number 1, this one blows my mind. Prince William. Is it because he's a prince?
Why won't he let it go?
I ain't a woman, but...
Yeah, he got to let that go. That's number 1. Number 2, we got two dudes on here. That's 60 and 70. That's Jay.
I just want to ask you about Shaq. Shaq coming in top 10. I feel like we need to have a conversation with him about that.
Shaq coming in the top 10.
Has anyone ever accused Shaq of being good looking?
Yes. Yes.
Really? All right, fine. I'll leave
him alone. Tone up. To be honest with you, like, if you take the bread off the table, Shaq was a chick magnet.
Come on.
I'm trying to tell you something, Tone. He was a chick magnet. Chicks dig the big fella.
He's right next to Shamar Moore.
Yo, chicks dig the big fella. Yes, they do. I have firsthand information on that. Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, in that case, shout out to Shaq. Mm-hmm. And coming in at number 9. All right, shout out, Shaq, friend of the show,
yes, sir.
Family member, Shaquille O'Neal coming in at number 9. I saw him and I was like, get at it. I normally don't look at any of those. I just keep scrolling, and then it was on Shaq's feed, and I'm like, why is he got top 10? I thought to myself, why is Shaq posting top 10 sexiest men? And I'm like, and then I saw, oh, it's because he's on it. That's why he
posted. Explain it. Yeah, that would explain it.
I love it. All right. So my computer just did this update today. And I don't know if you know, but when they change stuff up, like I'm looking for buttons to press, I don't know what to press. So we got a good top 10. Do you want to start? We don't have to go don't give your 10. You can just give one, and we can just go through the list. We're going to invite, if anybody wants to come on, just say, I want to come on, and I'm going to invite you on. I'm going to read some of the chat, but if you have a goat myth, so a goat argument that is not true, I want you to either you post it in the comments, raise your hand, we'll bring you on and ask you to explain why. I'll allow you as the guest.
Mm-hmm.
First, if you have one.
6-0, Tone.
Does it have to be 6-0?
It doesn't have to be 6-0, but I feel like that's a myth.
Because I'm with you, but I'm with you plus. I'm with you plus. So what I would say is, anytime you like that rings define the GOAT, I think that is 100% false. Right. Because if that was true, I think we'd have, well, Bill Russell would be one. What, Sam Jones? I think would be two. Tom
Hondo.
Yeah, no, Hondo's. Oh yeah, Hondo's at 7. No, but isn't Tom
Hondo's at 8?
Hondo's at 8. Oh yeah, Hondo's at 8. Robert,
not just 8. 8-0, by the way. Never lost in the
finals. Yeah. So Robert Horry's 7-0. Mm-hmm. So the rings being the argument. Is there any case where you're good with the rings being the argument?
No.
Never? Is rings, okay, how about this? Is rings in the conversation?
Yes, it is. But I don't. I have a difficult time. Me and you had this conversation, Tone. Like, winning the NBA championship, being good is not good enough. You need some stuff to go your way in order to win it. And if you win it and it's not solely because of you, or when you do win it and it's because of you, that's a big deal. But when you do win it again and it's not because of you, you get all the credit. And that's the downside. That's the downside of winning, because when you win, it looks like you were the main reason why, when in reality you weren't. And then when you don't win, or when you, every time you win, you weren't always the reason why y'all won. You had a lot to do with it, and you had some things go your way, but I think that I think a lot of that is largely due. I think that is largely due to what is called winning bias.
So winning, though, winning does matter. Winning is the point of the game.
Yes, it is.
So if you are the number one player, that by like just the leader, the best player on a team, should you not get that credit for being like, I'm not asking you to say, hey, Patrick McCaw won 3 championships in a row.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fact. I'm not saying, okay, let's put him ahead of Barkley. Right. Let's put him against ahead of Karl Malone. Let's put him again ahead of Dirk. Right. Why? But Kawhi has 2, right? Dirk.
No, two.
Yeah. So hold on, Patrick McCaw 3-peated. Curry couldn't even 3-peat.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
So I'm not saying that, but what I'm suggesting is if it's close, you do look at what they did, right?
As players, absolutely you look at what they did. Okay. No doubt about that. That matters. The fact that you was part of an NBA championship team, the fact that we won the NBA championship, that matters. But you got to put context to it. It can't just be, yo, we won the NBA championship, I got 3 rings in a row, or we won the NBA championship, I got 7 rings. Well, how did you win these rings? What happened with this? Prime example, if Russell Wilson doesn't throw a pick on the 1-yard line, how are we talking about Tom Brady?
Well, he'd still be 6-4. That's pretty good. He's 4-6.
Even still, I mean, I'm just saying, like a lot of stuff goes into winning. A lot of it goes into winning. A lot.
Okay, so let me ask you this: could someone who's never won a title be the GOAT?
No, winning matters when you're talking about being the best ever. Winning absolutely matters.
But
what are you confused about, Tone? Context matters with winning. It ain't just, yo, we won and that's the end of it. No, you can't just win and then that's just it. Yo, we won, so that's it. Are we talking about, prime example, if Russell Wilson doesn't throw that pick on the goal line against New England and they end up winning the Super Bowl, how are we talking about Russell Wilson? Because that's 2, by the way, and I think 3 years.
I think that's back. It might have been back-to-back.
Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's back-to-back. How are we talking about him?
I think the same that we're talking about him now.
Are you sure? Because I think that we're having a different conversation about Russell Wilson. Even though in the NFC Championship game against Green Bay at his home, he threw 3 interceptions that day.
So you're telling me if he doesn't throw that, if they do what they should have done, which is run Marshawn,
it changes history.
4 times.
It changes history.
He did nothing but hand it off. He all of a sudden becomes better?
Because of winning.
But that there's no context there then. You just took away the context thing because...
Yeah, that's the point.
If he hands it off and they win versus he throws it and they win or lose, he didn't win the game.
No, he did not.
Lost them the game. No, so when he throws the pick, he lost them the game.
Correct. And because they won it, the people are going to say, yo, he a 2-time Super Bowl champion. Just like we talk about Eli Manning, a 2-time Super Bowl champion.
But he was also the 2-time Super Bowl MVP.
Yes, he was. He threw for 250 yards.
That brings me to the next one. Finals MVP. Mm-hmm. Is the Finals MVP a legit argument for the GOAT, or is that a myth too?
I think it's a legit argument for the GOAT. When you see guys like Andre Iguodala win it, it lessens it because it makes it look like the guy who should have won it was less than, when in reality he wasn't. That's why you got to put some context to it. And I think they got it wrong in the NBA Finals in 2015. They actually wanted to give it to James, even though they lost, but they knew that they couldn't do that. But you got to put context to it, right? You have to put context to it in order for it to make sense. I can't say that Steph Curry wasn't the Finals MVP, but when you watch the finals, you know for a fact who the best player in the series was.
Okay, even if Steph Curry, let me ask you this: without Steph Curry, or without Iguodala, which one gives them a better chance of winning? Like, if you take Iguodala and eliminate him from the series, mm-hmm. is he easier? Sorry, let me rephrase. Is it easier to replace him or easier to replace Steph?
It's less difficult to replace Iguodala. It's less difficult to replace Steph Curry than it is to replace Iguodala.
It's less difficult to replace Steph?
No, it's less difficult to replace Iguodala. Replace Iguodala. The other one, yes. It's
right, like, you're not winning without Steph. Like, right. Iguodala, I get it. He played great mm-hmm. For him.
Right.
But he's, if you have to, look, I'm not saying yet. If you have to pick someone from the winning team, and I think you do, mm-hmm. it's Curry. But when you have guys like Iguodala, no offense, Chauncey Billups,
Cedric Maxwell.
Cedric Maxwell. Mm-hmm. I want to say, was it Worthy or Coop? Was it Worthy?
James Worthy.
James Worthy. James.
Are you sure, though? James Worthy might have been, as good as Magic was in 88, James Worthy might have been the best player in that series.
That's why I went,
He might have been the best player in that series.
Yeah, that was okay.
We can't say that about Andre Iguodala. He was not the best player in that series. That just did not happen.
Mm-mm. No, it didn't. So titles alone, no. Mm-mm. Finals MVPs, yes.
Yes.
Okay. What about stats?
Yes, what you produce matters. Yes, it does. And we got to put it into context, too. Why? Because who you did it against. A prime example, when you think about who the Lakers played in the NBA Finals in the 80s, when they played against the Celtics, when Jabbar was going up against Robert Parrish, who was in his prime at that time, right? We're talking about Bird, when he was going up against Magic, who was entering his prime. He was in year 5. Jordan, who went up against Magic. Even though Jabbar wasn't there, he went up against Magic, who was still in his prime. When he ran up on him. Let's see. Shaq in 1999, 2000, 2001, getting to the NBA Finals, having to get past Tim Duncan, who was entering his prime at that point. Shaq, who was in his prime. It matters who you have to see and what you produce when you see these people.
Okay. So is it? I don't know how I feel about that one, because stats is an interesting one for me, because we're looking at, like, obviously what this list that was sent was like total stats, points per game. I put the link in the chat. So if you have a myth, that's what we're looking for, a GOAT myth. So an argument that people use that is false, that stats are the only thing that matters. So let's bring up a couple more. I got a few more, but mm-hmm. let's see what Miner has to say. Only because that's a cool picture that he uses there. Mm-hmm.
What's going on, fellas?
What up?
How you doing?
As far as GOATs myths, that anything before the 3-point era is irrelevant.
You're saying it is irrelevant, or people who say that it's.
People that say that.
Oh, okay. People who say that. Okay. So that's it's interesting. Yeah, that's actually number one. It says old era versus new era. Comparing players from different eras is challenging, obviously, due to rule changes, etc. So when people say it doesn't count because, let me think. George Mikan can't be in the GOAT debate because he was in the 40s and 50s and there was no shot clock. Is that not legitimate?
I think it's not. I think it's legitimate, but, you know, some people, they discredit the old school. I've always enjoyed the older players, but, man, you talk to a lot of these young guys, they have no respect for the 70s, no respect for the 60s, and they act like the 50s never even happened.
Did the 50s, did they happen? I don't know. Did the 50s happen?
It's people who still think that that Babe Ruth is the best baseball player ever. It's people who still think that Babe Ruth is the best ever. And that was 100 years ago.
Yeah, but that's baseball. You know, those statistics are like.
Is it different for different?
Written in stone. It's totally different for basketball. And it's different for football.
I think so. I do.
No one does.
It different for football? There's people who still think that Jim Brown is a top three running back all time.
And exactly what I was going to say. People say he's the best ever, Jim Brown. They don't say anything about the fact that it was in the
Who brings up Johnny Unitas? Who brings up Roger Staubach?
Other than me, nobody.
Yeah, I don't understand why Otto. I don't understand why Otto Brown. That's his name.
Otto Graham.
Otto Graham. I don't understand why Otto Graham isn't talked about.
I only have one. He's a guy who hosts a Ravens podcast called Trust the Bank, who always says Otto Graham, nine straight football championships. He's the goat. Other than him, he's the only one I heard. Okay. So old era, I think I'm with you, Minor. Old era. I might bring you back on if you want to stay on. I'm gonna go to the next guy though and see what they got. All right.
Sure.
Thanks, AA.
Fellas, what's going on?
What up? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm just piggybacking on the first remark with the 6-0. I actually think that is it's underrated. It's underappreciated. I think they try to say it's a myth, like it's a bailout, but I don't think we put into context how those six championships were accomplished. And I think with the younger era, the most success they have seen is 10 appearances in the finals. So when we mention 6-0, they don't understand the gravity of that. Like it wasn't six over 8 years and he missed a couple. He won 3 in a row, went and played another professional sport, and then came back to the best professional basketball league in the world and won 3 more. So I think that's the context that we don't use. I think people put too many small things in the context to make the argument valid. But when you actually break down what he was doing, we might go crazy this year if we see Joker win another championship. He might get in the conversation of top 5. But imagine if he won 2 more and then won another 3 after this. Correct. You know, we were holding
three-peat on 2 separate occasions. Obviously, Bill Russell had 8 in a row, which that's never going to get done again.
And 2 different teams. It's technically 2 different teams as well. People use the excuse of, hey, we need time to gel. We've seen this guy do it with a completely different roster his first full year, quote-unquote. I mean, if we want to hold 17 games to his head from coming from another professional sport, then, I mean, by all means. But that second unit he did it with, that was a totally different team. And we bring up
The only 2 people that were on both three-peats, with the exception of Jordan?
Scotty, and who else?
Phil Jackson.
And we give so many players now that excuse, but the thing is, we've seen someone actually do it, so maybe we just hold everybody to that standard. But because we've seen people do it that was shorthanded, we seen Mike do it in 98 when they were actually underdogs in the finals, when Pippen was hurt. So when people say, hey, this guy was that, us older guys, we say, well, listen, we see somebody do it with a banged-up squad, with a banged-up superstar, and still got it done on the highest level. When we watch Michael Jordan on Channel 4, every time you watch him, if you didn't see him regionally, you saw him winning at the highest level.
AA had WGN. All right, so 6-0, you think it is not a myth? Well, we think it's a myth. All right, I'll put you in the backstage. We got one more, and then we'll get back to our list. But stay on. Brandon.
Yo. Hey, does it have to be about basketball, or can it be about any myths?
We're talking basketball, go myth, but go ahead. Why not?
I got one for football.
All right.
It's about Tom Brady. So, listen, with all due respect to Tom Brady, I don't understand how he's the greatest of all time other than team accomplishments. I don't believe for one single year of his NFL career he was the best player in the league. Not for one single year. He was always in the top 5, but to say he was ever the best player in the league is a bit of a stretch. And then to get to the end of your career – and then to say that you're the greatest of all time because you won the most Super Bowls is kind of crazy to me. Whenever we've seen people be more dominant in front of us.
So who was the best player in the league in 2013?
2013.
Who was the best player in the league?
I mean, let me think. I'm trying to get it together real quick. Hold on.
I think it was Adrian Peterson.
Oh, that's the year he came back from the ACL.
Yeah, I think Adrian Peterson was the best player.
Agree. Well, either him or Peyton Manning that year. That's the year he went crazy again, was it not?
The next year, Peyton Manning threw for 50 touchdowns.
Okay, that's the next year. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
But Brady threw for 50 touchdowns years before that too. So,
but A-Rod was in the league right then and there doing his thing. And I don't think he was better than A-Rod at the beginning, whenever A-Rod first came on. And he was.
So
when
you look at Peyton Manning from – not Peyton Manning. When you look at Tom Brady as a whole from – let's say, I think his Brady showed up in 2001. Yeah. That was his first year as a starter. In 01, right. In 01, 02, that was his first year as a starter. With that being said, I think his prime was right around 2004, 2005, and that went on to like forever. I'd like to think from 2007, probably to 2018, you can make a legit argument he was the best player in the league.
Definitely
the best quarterback.
Well, let me go back a step because I'm with you and I'm against you.
I don't ever think that Aaron Rodgers was ever better than Brady. I don't ever think Aaron Rodgers was better than Brady at no point. I don't ever think he was better than
2011?
Nope.
I'll tell you why I'm with you. I'm with you is I agree that there's a lot of years that – let me actually hold on. Tom Brady is not the GOAT of football.
Okay. Who you got?
Tom Brady is the GOAT of quarterbacks. So let's make that that distinction. Because a lot of people say he's the GOAT, but they mean he's the GOAT of quarterbacks, not the GOAT of football. So that's where I'm kind of with you. Where I'm against you when you say what has he done? So when we're talking about the GOAT, we're talking the greatest of of all time. Meaning we're not looking at any individual season. We're looking at the entirety of your career versus the entirety of everybody else's career. So if I am, let's say, for argument's sake, the third best quarterback every single year for 20 years, and there's someone else who is the first, fifth, first, 10th, 11th, at the end of the day, my career will be greater than theirs, even though I might not have been the best any particular year, although I think he was a couple of times. When you look at his career, he is number one in passing completions. Number one. In passing yards, number one in passing touchdowns. So of all the big things you look at statistically for a quarterback, he's first. He also has, I'll just rhyme these off for you real quick. I had to pull it up because my memory. 15 Pro Bowls, 3 All-Pro, 7, obviously we know the 7 Super Bowls, 10 appearances, 3-time MVP. Let's see what else. 5-time Super Bowl MVP. And then there's another 10 awards that I'm not even going to list off. So who has done as much as him that you could say, I have this quarterback over him when statistically he's number one, winning, which matters, he's number one. Who could you put over him as a quarterback?
Well, if you're just going to go to quarterbacks alone, me personally, though, I'm going to be honest with you. Football to me, other than baseball, is the most team sport that there is. I don't think that even though quarterbacks matter a lot, don't get me wrong, I believe that they are the key that turns the car. But I just don't think that you can put a whole Super Bowl on them the way you could put a championship on LeBron James, if that makes sense.
No, right? A basketball player is 20% of the people on the field. A football player, no football players anywhere near that. So
we've seen quarterbacks less than win Super Bowls. You don't have to be an elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl. We've seen that.
Yeah, so I got Joe over him. Joe
Montana. With Trent Dilfer and Joe, you got Joe Montana as one?
Joe's over him, okay?
I do too. I've been
You're a 49ers fan. You're biased, chill.
Yeah, and I'm a Cowboys fan. And I got Joe number one all time.
Wow.
There you go.
That's why. Right? There you go, Tom. And the only reason why I can say this is because I've seen both of their careers. Peyton Manning was better than Tom Brady. He was better than him.
He was more talented than Brady.
He performed better than him. Tom Brady had a better team a better coach and a better defensive team for most of his career. He had a top 10 defense his whole career. He had arguably the greatest coach of all time on his sideline. Now, I know it's not looking great for him right now, but Bill Belichick was a monster in them 2000s. Right. Y'all know he was.
Yes, he was, Tom.
As much as
Belly needed Brady, Brady needed Belly.
Absolutely. Really? Especially in the first three rings.
Let me just play devil's advocate. I'm not saying I believe what I'm about to say, just devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Before he got to New England, after Brady left, Brady leaves, wins the Super Bowl.
Right. So let's rewind the clock, Tone. He was in Cleveland and he was turning that thing around, but then that thing imploded because they moved. Had they stayed in Cleveland, he was turning that thing around with that defense, with Pepper Johnson and all of those guys. That thing was actually working in Cleveland, and then it went to pieces because they ended up moving to Baltimore. He ended up getting fired. So that's the first problem with that.
Did it go well? Did he win a Super Bowl?
They won a Super Bowl 3 years later with that roster for the most part.
3 years. And I'm
coach. Great.
With Ray Lewis.
Yeah, with the same roster for the most part.
And I'm pretty sure that Belly could have got that done with that roster. That's number one.
But he did it.
No, he did not. No, he did not. Now, Tone, if we're being honest and we're playing both sides of the fence here, I mean, Peyton Manning did, of the 13 years he played in Indianapolis, six of those 13 years, he had a top 10 defense. Eight one-and-dones, eight of them, shown the door in the first round of the playoffs. Eight of them. So Tom Brady, and let's be clear, Brandon, Tom Brady didn't have Marvin Harrison for a decade. He ain't have Clark for 8 years. He ain't have.
But he also had a 10-year stretch where he didn't win anything.
But he was also, but he also was there too.
And then he didn't start winning.
How long did he have Gronk?
Gronk was in that Atlanta for what? 8 years, 9 years?
About 8 or 9. Dude, Gronk is arguably the greatest of all time.
Did he cheat? Did he cheat?
No,
I don't think he cheated.
You don't think? What do you mean he don't?
I don't think he cheated.
Guilty as charged.
One. Do you remember that deflated football game?
Do I remember
the second half? Do you remember that game where he cheated? They won 28-0. They had the properly inflated football.
They stopped them.
Yeah, they destroyed them.
And by the way, it wasn't Indianapolis who complained. No, it was the media who made this up. So it's not like we got our ass whooped and went to the media and was like, yo, you know, we think they cheated. No, they walked out like, yo, we got our ass kicked. It was the media who was like,
Did they cheat twice?
So, do you think Michigan just cheated?
Did they cheat? You're not answering the question. Did he cheat twice? Yes or no?
Yes.
Did he get caught cheating twice? Yes or no?
Yes, they got caught cheating.
Okay, so that's it. That's it. They cheated. And the Houston Astros, you get cheated? You're not the champ in my eyes, period. You got cheated. No.
All right, real quick. I know you guys got to move on. Let me bring this up. So I'm going to tell you who my GOAT is in football since it's not Tom Brady. It's Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Not I think even close.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a Cowboys fan, Tom.
Because it is Jerry Rice.
It's not even close. Chill. You can't argue it. You can't argue somebody that then got that much of a gap on everybody else in their division. I mean, we don't know what Lawrence Taylor did in sacks. I think the first 4 years wasn't recorded. But I bet it was something crazy.
I got Jerry Rice LT 100%.
Appreciate y'all, man. Have a good one.
Anytime we're talking about Jerry Rice, Tone, in order to catch that record, you gotta have a 1,000-yard season, and you gotta do that for 19 straight years.
Good luck.
Go ahead, y'all. Here you go.
Good luck. All right. So far, we've tackled the 6-0. When we say 6-0, it's not the 6-0. So far, we've tackled that rings aren't everything when it comes to the GOAT debate. Mm-hmm. That stats don't tell the whole story. That the old versus new era, I'm sorry, there's no old era tax. You can only play. Listen, you can't control when you were born. You can't control your competition. It is what it is. What about, we talked finals MVP. We're good with that one. This is one that was interesting that I heard. Only guards can be the GOAT because it's too easy for big men.
That is definitely a myth. 100% that's a myth. And the reason why that's a myth is because, number one, the best players that ever played a game are big guys. That's number one. Number two, the toughest area to cover is to cover the rim. To guard, I feel like the guard at the rim, whether even if it's today or it was 20 years ago or it was 30 years ago, the toughest place to guard is at the rim. Because I can't make any mistakes. I got people behind me if I'm guarding on the perimeter that could clean up my mistakes. I don't have anybody behind me if I'm on a block one-on-one with Tim Duncan or if I'm on a block one-on-one with Joel Embiid. I don't have anybody to clean up my mistakes.
Don't tell me 6 through 10. Tell me your top five again.
Top five players of all time.
Yeah.
James, Jordan, Jabbar, Chamberlain, Russell.
Oh, so you have three centers in your top five. Okay, so you truly believe the big man is the best. Okay.
I do.
All right. Yes. Because I think Kareem's the only center in my top five. Longevity trumps all in the GOAT. So whoever longer did it best.
I don't know if that's a myth, but here's the thing, Tony. I don't think it's a myth, but I also don't think it's solely based on, yo, if you did it the longest. No, because if you were around and you were just a compiler and it didn't lead to anything, then that doesn't matter. I mean, if Cliff Robinson played 20 years, Cliff Robinson had one trip to the NBA Finals.
Right. Oh, I agree and disagree with this one. I disagree because I'm not giving Kevin Willis any GOAT votes. I ain't giving, no offense, Vince. I ain't giving Vince Carter any GOAT votes.
No.
Even Dirk, I ain't giving him a, you know, but peak longevity, I've told you this before. I've told you, Jordan is cemented as my number one.
Right.
But if LeBron keeps playing if LeBron keeps playing like this, I don't know how I not just kind of switch.
Right.
Because he's going to hit 21, 22, 23 years, and I'm going to be like,
is this dude really going to be around for like 3 or 4 more
years? When you look at the end of the day, right, there's going to be a time when he stops and he's going to have like 35,000 points, 10, you know, 12,000 rebounds, 12,000 assists. He's going to be number one, far and away, the number one scorer of all time. He's going to be like top three in assists. He's going to have, you know, all the accolades you could imagine. It's going to be hard to look back and say this guy didn't have the greatest career ever. Now, if I'm taking a 10-year kind of window and saying, well, who had that? It goes back to my original. But if I'm being true with myself and say greatest career of all time, like who had the greatest career of all time? Because that's really what the GOAT is, right?
Yes.
It's going to be hard. You throw in another ring, another MVP. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough because right now you can make the case LeBron is second, third, right? Because, well, he's been there 10 times. So was Kareem. Right. And Kareem won 6. He only won 4.
Right.
You know, and you could, it's nitpicking. Statistically, there's this little thing here, the per games that, you know, I've told you this before. When you look at advanced stats, remember we looked at it and I told you it's like Jordan is like 1.03 and LeBron is like 1.02. Like it's fractions of a point difference for them. So everything else is so close but when you look at peak and you're like, okay, one guy had a 10-year peak, which he did more than anyone else has ever done in 10 years, but another guy had a 22-year peak. like you get all blah. So
like how do
so we that's why you know people always say I'm this hater and I'll never change up. No, I've told you Tim Duncan, as I've gotten new information, you know this. Tim Duncan has moved really, really, really up. Sorry, I'm going downwards, but has moved up my list as I do more and more kind of deep dives into stuff. I've moved people around. The only things that have ever been consistent was I had Jordan 1, Kareem 2. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two guys. And then 3 through 10 switched as I learned more. And because you know, and for those of you that don't know, I would not rank active players. And I still don't rank active players. But then one guy, James. After a number of years, I was like, okay, I gotta make an exception to this rule because it's insane not to have him in there. And he shoved his way into 5, 4, 3. And now he's sitting at 2. And now it's Jordan, James, Kareem. And the other 7... Russell was in mine and now he's at 11, right? Like I've had to shift some guys around. Cause hey, we always learn more, watch more tape, I've told you this. This is why I always laugh at people who just, I won't change my mind. I've heard really good, compelling arguments. I looked it up and I'm like, all right, can't argue that. It is what it is. So, all right, we're at we're at longevity. So longevity is a myth for the most part, right? With exceptions, but
with
for
the most part,
you just play a long time. Yeah, that doesn't matter.
That's a myth.
This goes to the old era, new era, but this is one that no old era can't be old players can't be because competition was weak in the past.
I don't buy that's a myth also. Mm-mm. The reason why that's a myth is, number one, with lesser teams means seeing the competition more. So guys like I can appreciate, I mean, Ticket brought up something to me which made a lot of sense. The fact that you only had to play one round to get to the NBA Finals. Okay, sure. But if you can imagine, Tone, imagine playing one round. I got to get past Steph Curry to get to the NBA Finals. And then who am I meeting in the NBA Finals? I'm meeting Giannis in the NBA Finals. And that's going on for 6, 7 years. And I got to see Steph Curry and I'm playing in a team of eight. I'm playing in an eight-team league. And in this eight-team league, I got to see Steph Curry. I got to see Jerry West. I got to see Hal Greer. Let's see. Who else do I have to see? And Oscar Robertson. I got to see these dudes on the regular. I don't get to see Steph Curry tonight, and then I don't see him again until January or February. No, I see Steph Curry tonight, and then I see him again on Friday. And then after Friday, I see him again on Monday because I'm in an 18 league. So the tougher competition, the stiffer competition, I have to see it more, and I got to see it on a regular basis, including in the playoffs. So I think the myth about I feel like the myth about competition being not that good is just not true, because when you're playing in a smaller league, I feel like the competition, you get to see it more.
All right, James B has a myth.
Look, when you guys were talking about like the winning bias and all that stuff, I just had a question, because chill, you have like Jeter over like a lot of people. You think he's the best
you've ever seen. Baseball, here we go.
So I was like, I'm a little confused, because you say it takes a lot to win like a championship, but you know it takes a lot to win a World Series. So I'm still confused on that.
Yes, it does. It takes a lot to win a championship. It takes a lot to win a World Series. Yes, it does.
So how do you have Jeter at? You have Jeter as number one, yeah?
He's the best I've ever seen, man. I just never seen nobody get it done when it had to get done more than him. When it had to get done, and he struck out a lot. Jeter struck out a lot. Jeter wasn't the when you think about the best shortstop defensive players, he wasn't better than Ozzie Smith. He wasn't better than Cal Ripken. Just in terms of defensive players, he wasn't better than them dudes. And I don't think it was close, to be quite honest with you. But when I think about when it comes to winning, two things matter in baseball. You got to have great pitching. If you got dudes, if you got a great left-hander and you got a guy who could throw a fastball in your rotation, in a seven-game series, you can probably win that. And you need bats. And your bats don't have to be on fire, but as a big-time player, as a shortstop, your job is to hit. In addition to playing defense, that's why you are where you are in the order. Your job is to get on base. And I feel like Derek Jeter, when it mattered the most, he got on base.
All right. I disagree. I don't even think he's the top five Yankee of all time. James B., I noticed that you have a Pistons picture. You're not the one who was in the chat talking smack when I said the Pistons were going to get worse this year, because that was the plan of Coach Monty, that I want to get worse and then get better, and you were all calling me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you had him 30. You had him. No, I got upset when you had him at 30.
And where are they now?
I mean, we're bad. Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're not that.
Yeah. Thank you. See, I like that. I could no disrespect, James. I can bring you back on in a minute. But see, that's the everyone brought up. I thought you said Charlotte was going to be better. I think Charlotte is better, but no one brings up the correct ones. No one brings up that I called Indiana. I called Detroit. I'm just saying. All right, you got another myth? I got a couple more. But do you got one?
No, that was all I had, Tom.
Now you're more fluent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about this one? And this one, I don't know that this one's a myth. I think this one's 100% true. And this is the problem with the GOAT debate. Personal preference. Everybody's subjective to their own personal biases.
That's not a myth.
That's true, right?
Yes, that's a fact.
Is that why? And that's why we'll never agree.
Right, that's exactly why we'll never agree. And on top of that, guys come along who will change your opinion about who you think it is. I was a Jordan guy. And you couldn't talk me off that. You could not talk me off that Jordan Hill. And it took me a long time before I jumped on the James train. And once I jumped on the James train, man, I'm on it. 100% I'm on it.
Could you see yourself? Are you open to coming off of that train?
I just don't think that, Tone, you just brought up a bunch of different numbers. So, like, for example, tonight, James is going to surpass 39,000 points tonight. I think he's 6 points away from surpassing 39,000 points. Plus, by the time I don't see him being around for the next like 4 or 5 years. I think he's going to be around for 2 or 3 more years, tops. And within that time, he's going to surpass 40,000 points. he's going to surpass 10,000 assists. He already surpassed 10,000 rebounds. He's got the most fourth quarter points in NBA history. He's got the most buzz. All of this stuff that he has, I can't even read it off, Tone, but I can tell you, you know me, Tone. You know how I take care of myself. I don't think I'm going to be around to see the next guy do that. I don't.
Well, no, because it's agreed.
I don't. But I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. And I would be open to something like that. I just don't think I'm going to be around to see it. I think a guy like that comes around once every 40 or so years. And I don't think I'm going to be around to see the next guy do it.
Well, Jordan retired the year before LeBron's rookie year. So I don't know that it happens that infrequent. I think there's going to be a guy that's probably coming in that maybe we don't know. Maybe we do know. Maybe he's here right now.
Well, I'll give you an example, Tone. Tone, who you think the GOAT is?
Michael Jordan.
Right. So, I mean, there's a conversation with you, which, by the way, we just started having that conversation with you, Tone. Like, you've actually warmed up to it. It's not something that you was even thinking about having 3 or 4 years ago. You was like, hell no.
Well, because 3 or 4 years ago, like I said, 3 or 4 years ago, my stance was there's no I don't rank active players.
Right.
And there was no non-active players like that are in the conversation. Like I don't think there's another non-active player. Like if you took away active players, I would say the number jumps. But what I'm interested to ask you is this one. And you know what? I'm going to open it up to everybody. I'm going to bring everybody on for a second. I'm going to ask you, because I want to ask you all this question. Let me just one more. I think mine are still in here. Okay. Let me ask you all this question. And the question is this. Okay. You guys ready? Okay.
Yep.
What makes for anyone that has, including Chill, anyone who has anyone other than Jordan as the GOAT, if the entire population of the world, casual fans, hardcore fans, active players, retired players, coaches, executives, like analysts, every single one of those groups, the majority of them, meaning more than 50% of all of those groups, have Jordan. What is it that the other people, as such as yourself, think that you know that nobody else knows?
What do I know that nobody else knows? Well, there isn't anything that you guys haven't seen that's already out there. It's just a matter of whether or not what you see is what you believe. Like I said, it's a generation of people that don't know the NBA Finals without LeBron James. And I hear the logic. You know,
the majority of them still have Jordan.
Right. And the reason why is because the myth that we just talked about, 6-0. That's the first thing that I hear.
That's the only argument is 6-0. Because I don't
6-0.
How many Jordan? How many Jordan? Let me ask you this: have you ever heard me use 6-0 as an argument?
You?
Yeah, me.
Yes, you have brought up championships. Yes,
No. Have I ever said 6-0 is the reason he's the GOAT?
You've brought up 6-0, Tone. That's part of your argument.
He's the GOAT? No,
that's,
no.
That's 100% a part of your argument. Yes, it is. Yes, you have done that.
I would love some proof on that because I've never said.
Yes, you brought up him. In fact, not only did you bring that up, Tone, you brought up what James didn't do in the finals.
100% I bring up what he didn't do because that's myth number 10. You guys didn't say anything. Do y'all think? Wait, let me take a quick poll. AA, who's your GOAT?
Oh, Jordan, of course.
Okay, James B, who's your GOAT?
I got LeBron.
Minor, who's your GOAT?
MJ, all the way.
All right, that's three. See, even here, the majority, 60%. All right, I'm going to put you guys backstage for a second. James B, it will stay. James, why do you have LeBron as your GOAT?
Just because I'm a young guy, so I just seen him all my life, and I think just how good he's been for the long time. And I mean, I could watch Jordan on YouTube and all that stuff, but it just wouldn't hit the same as like you guys because you guys watched him. So I think because I've seen Brian for a while, that's why.
I appreciate that. Okay, put you backstage, be right back. Okay, so here's myth number 10. The negatives don't count.
The negatives don't count.
5,000 turnovers.
No, that stuff matters. Yeah, that's not.
You know, for all the stuff, for all the pass first stuff, I'm just using him as the example because we were just talking about it. But he's going to be, he's the, for all the, you know, we said, like I just said, 35, 10, 10, or 39, however, how many points is he going to get? 39,000? You said?
Tonight against the Jazz, he's 6 points away from 39,000.
So he's going to be 40,000 points at the end of his career.
40 plus thousand.
Yeah, 40, like, what does Oscar Schmidt have?
47,000.
Okay, he's never passing him. So, okay, for all of that, when I bring up 5,000 turnovers, and I just say, I'm just saying 5,000 turnovers. When I bring up 2011, I want to show you the responses I get. Mm-hmm. 2011 isn't horrible. 18-7-7 isn't horrible. He was just passive and tried to play a supporting role. Turns out Wade isn't that good. So you're saying LeBron has no weaknesses? I say he replies, because he doesn't have any weaknesses. His biggest weakness is that he's unlucky to face the greatest collection of talent in NBA history.
No, that's not true. That's just not true.
That's delusional.
Yeah, that's not true. James, right, in 2011, James in 2007, and in 2000, James in 2011 is not the same player he was in 2007. James in 2013 is not the same player he was in 2011. So that's just not true. That's not true at all. James in 2016 is not the same player that he was in 2011. So that's not true. He might be quote unquote unlucky to face the people that he faced. Remember too, Tone, of those 10 NBA finals, how many of them did you have him pick to win? 07, yes or no?
No.
11, yes, yeah, or no?
Yes.
12.
Yes.
13.
Yes.
14.
Yes.
16.
That was a 73-9?
Yep.
No.
17.
No.
18.
No.
20.
No.
So,
oh, 20, sorry, 20, 20, yes, 20, 20, yes, 20, 20, yes, 20, yes, 20, yes,
so,
yeah.
So of those finals, you had him picked to win 5 of them.
Five.
So he won 4 of them.
Yeah.
Of the 5 that you had him picked to win.
Yeah.
So did he underachieve that much considering?
No.
Did he underachieve by those standards? No. Did he underachieve compared to the other people that you're comparing him to? Yes.
Yes.
Because there's another player, and this is where I will use the 6-0. There's another player who was the favorite and never lost as the favorite. Because I'm okay with you losing. I'm okay with him losing to the 2017 Warriors. Right. I'm okay with him losing to the 07 Spurs, because not only were they outmatched and he didn't even belong there, mm-hmm. Right? Because like you said, when you're swept, you didn't even belong there. Not only were they outmatched and didn't belong there, his second best player was injured and didn't play. So he's, and I've told you this, there's not one team in NBA history that has lost their second best player and won. So there's no chance he's winning. But I don't hold those against him. I've told you this before. I don't hold you against losing when you're supposed to lose, but I will hold it against you when you lose and you're supposed to win. And I know you, this is where you and I argue. We only have 1 minute left. He was also the number one seed in back-to-back seasons and didn't make the NBA final. So that's also not as bad as the 2011, because he didn't play that bad, but it is also you were expected to go deeper and you didn't. Whereas, and I think that's where this kind of goes, is that, again, we made this into Jordan and LeBron. I didn't want to. Jordan went through this thing where he's like, okay, the first 6 years he was learning, hit the top of the mountain.
And never looked back.
They plateaued at the top.
And that was that. All right. So, and guys, unfortunately, we only have 30 seconds left. Tell me how great this kick is. Yeah, baby.
Oh. That's good form, man.
Fluent.
Very good form.
Watch how you run up, that thing.
I'm the one that told you to make the top 10 highlights with your son once the season's over. So you gotta make a whole compilation.
Before we go, just so you know, Halliburton went 37-14 tonight.
Fantastic! This dude is phenomenal. You can't tell me we're not gonna have a conversation in 2 years about this dude being the best lead guard in the game. I'm telling you, 2 years.
You might have to move that timeline up. It might be next year.
Minor. We're going to have a conversation, a serious one, about this dude being the best lead guard in the game.
You're making us Jersey people look bad with these takes, man.
Z2 Fly came on and didn't say anything. Bro,
what's your LeBron take? I'm from Jersey too.
What take? He's just saying all your takes are bad. What takes am I making us look bad with?
The alarm just went off. We are over time. Send in the message why his takes are horrible. Black Friday. Black Friday. Me and Chill against Sweet and Low, Mars and Low.
Hilarious.
We're going to kill them. And there's a major announcement, NBA announcement coming during that Black Friday event. Until next week, now you're more
fun. Take it light. Take it easy, guys.
We'll come through next time.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.